Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Lawn bowls, Phil.
Rick, huge tournament has been launched at the Payne and Bowling Club Friday night. Yep.
Huge tournament. Right.
Names bigger than Drewer, Fechner, bigger than that.
No.
Well, they are. Hayden Harper's taken it upon himself, and he's organised a huge tournament. I think it's for January next year. The details, I didn't see the, he was doing a bit of a presentation last night after bowls and I couldn't stay around for it, so.
Oh, that's good that you prepared yourself.
Yeah, for but well it is the biggest thing to hit Adelaide
since,
bowls.
Since sliced bread?
Since I went down there 5 years ago. No, not really.
So is it a conventional bowls tournament?
Yes, it's all different. It's a point scoring game and it'll be the hardest drive. He's got a little gadget he's going to set up alongside to measure how fast the bowl's going down, and yeah, it should be huge. And don't be like that over there, Rick. I see you're doing silly things.
No. I think it's good.
Big prize money. He's done a lot of work, Hayden. So
good on him.
Yep. So he told me just to give it a plug. Not much news from the Barossa boys on the gossip scene, but I did hear that Adam Forbes may be making a return to New York this year. Adam, who we interviewed on this show many, many moons ago.
Maybe is a bit like using the word alleged, isn't it?
Use that word quite well, don't you? So he might be making a return. But other than that, there's not much other bowls news. But to Hayden, I take my hat off. It's a lot of organisation he's done and still doing. And he's going to get some of the biggest names in bowls over to Paynham for the tournament. So
That's really good.
Yeah.
I've heard it has been alleged that you didn't really know enough about that.
Yeah, I know very little about it at all.
So stay in tune, listeners, because next week he might have done some spade work and find out exactly how big and all sectors of the...
Yeah.
Sounds very good, though.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It should be good.
Hats off to him for all the work he's done.
Yeah, it's a lot of work there. Okay, we'll go on to the AFL.
Grand final.
Oh, grand final, was it?
It was, to put it in layman's terms, a fizzer.
Yep.
I was really surprised that Sydney capitulated. And I mean, there's been a great deal of talk about that Geelong, despite being the best side of the season, were too old, too slow.
But too good.
And that's,
love that.
And that's exactly what it turned out to be.
Yep.
I guess experience. I think it was also probably the incentive that a number of them did know, being too old, too slow and too good, that this was the last hurrah, that it was was this all. And they killed him.
Yeah, as we speak, Selwood's retired now, which I think was always on the cards. I think he told a certain number of couple of days out before the grand final, but he only announced it after, obviously. But very good game by him. And I thought Dangerfield, was best, but they gave it to Smith. Three or four goals, and he was very good too.
Yes, I will agree with you. I thought you could have given it to three or four of them. Mm. And all I'll say is that Dangerfield was unlucky.
Mm.
That's taking nothing away.
Hard in and unders, wasn't it?
Unbelievable. But the bloke who did get it, you can argue, deserved it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
As you could have given it to Selwood.
Yeah, and if Hawkins had kicked straight, he kicked three goals, four. If he kicked seven, it probably could have been him.
Well, it could have been, but it wouldn't have been for me.
You're not a big Hawkins fan, I know.
I'm not a great Hawkins fan.
Yeah, I like him. I reckon he'd be a nice enough guy too out of footy. But anyway.
That really... Despite the disappointment there, it was just, I mean, it was totally disappointing when you compare it to the AFLW showdown.
Wasn't that a cracker?
That is one of the great games I've
ever
seen.
What a build-up. And they even used the men's song, Never Tear Us Apart. Almost cried.
I cannot believe the publicity, the commentary. Now, you know, that's justified if there's a reason for doing it. But that game absolutely showed us the ridiculously poor standard of AFLW football.
I agree.
I mean, there's no point in beating around the bush. It was woeful.
Yeah. I swapped over, watched the basketball. I watched China and Australia. And
now that it's, Phil, it's interesting you've raised that issue, because for the life of me, at basically the same time, you've got an international top world standard women's Australia playing China, whoever, during the World Championship. And if it hadn't been for Lauren Jackson's comeback, which was amazing.
And she's retired again.
Well, yes. But I mean, how can anyone give footage, column inches, vision to a second rate, right? No, it's not second, it's third or fourth rate women's footy competition, when you've got an international quality women's basketball team playing. I mean, I just think simply it's not fair.
Yeah. No, look, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but some of those AFL girls are not fit.
They're not fit.
Oh, my God.
They're not fit.
They are not fit. Right.
And I mean, you know, you tend to also forget that the rules are different. I don't know whether you noticed the boundary umpire runs 50 metres inside the boundary to throw the ball in. I think that's so that the ball is vaguely in play for a short period of time. And I mean, it seems to me we've got it all wrong. If you take, and then I'll get off my bandwagon, but if you take Port Adelaide captain.
Yes, Aaron.
Aaron Phillips. Yep. Now, everybody now has forgotten that she was, in terms of what I've just talked about, international sport, an Australian basketballer, an incredibly successful American league basketballer, and everyone thinks that she's a footballer who occasionally played basketball.
Yeah. I mean,
we've got it all wrong way around.
Yep. No, very ordinary game. I couldn't watch it, Rick. I had to switch over to the basketball and watched. Unfortunately, Australia just lose. But
But I mean, just finishing on the showdown. I mean, again, like the week prior when the score was 97-3 or something, whatever it was in the game. I mean, everyone can conveniently forget and excuse the Port Adelaide girls for being young, first time round, etc. I mean, after they've kicked 2 points in the first quarter and they've managed their third point, their entire score for the game in the last. So in three quarters, they've kicked 1 point. Everyone also forgets, just imagine what it would have been if the Crows 8-15... 23 shots on three. Well, yeah.
Well, a couple of those girls were 20 metres out, fair way out, and they missed.
None of them can kick 40 metres. I mean,
I know we've bagged it, but honestly, Rick, that's it for me. I'm done with it. I can't watch it.
Well, I mean, there'll probably be listeners, some, who'll be upset, but it's not, well, I guess it's a bagging, but it's a reality check. It is where the game's at, and it's not very high up the ladder.
I reckon perhaps 10 years down the track that the skill level obviously will be up, but it's going to take a while because you've got to let those kids grow in and grow up with football to get the skill. So these girls have played footy for, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years maybe.
Yeah, anyway.
But anyway, we bagged them enough.
Right.
But watch the turned over the basketball and there's three guys playing for China, I reckon.
Oh, Philip, you can't say that. Like
guys. They did, honestly.
You cannot say that.
Oh, can I? Okay, I won't.
Well, just to assure our listeners that at international world standard level, there would have been many checks done to account
for that.
Phillip's accusation. Right, now you've stuffed that up, we'd better move on. Now, tonight is going to be one of the great sporting occasions.
What is it?
You are
What's on?
It is the Rugby League Grand Final. Now, there's 100,000 people at the MCG for the AFL Grand Final.
Yep.
And people say rugby doesn't count. It's only because the stadium can't fit any more. Tonight, there'll be at the Accor Stadium, 87,000, I think it is. The tickets sold out in 3 minutes. You'd think
three minutes?
Yeah, you'd think it was Bruce Springsteen turning up or something, wouldn't you?
Oh, Rick Drewitt.
Anyway, it should be a magnificent game between the mighty Penrith Panthers, already reigning premiers. They've played in the previous two grand finals. And the Parramatta Eels, who will be the sentimental favourites, been around for a long time.
Sort of like the working class club, are they?
Working class club, and funnily enough, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Penrith start red-hot favourites, but I reckon there could be an upset. But then again, I was wrong with Sydney, wasn't I?
You certainly were. Didn't even bring that up. But anyway. Just another tip wrong.
Here's another tip wrong. What about my best on ground buddy Franklin? He got two touches.
Did he get a touch?
Well, I think he got two.
I heard him cheering.
Anyway, we won't talk too much about the rugby, except that I find it quite fascinating, and I'm not sure how the geography lies with many of our listeners, but Greater Western Sydney, obviously we know of it because there is a created AFL team called GSW. Parramatta, Penrith, the centre of Greater Western Sydney. Huge explosion area, etc., etc. Now, without passing too many comments other than let us all make up our own mind, the story around it is that since the creation of GWS, the AFL have poured a lazy 200, not 20, 200 plus million dollars into it. And it almost, this bottomless pit, which the AFL seems to have, how do you reckon they're feeling when the grand final in the rugby league is between the two greater Western Sydney clubs, Penrith and Parramatta? And just to make matters worse, at the most recent level, the Parramatta Council did a survey on sport and asked kids, etc., what they were interested in playing in, and the kids answered 1%. I think it was slightly under 1% were interested in AFL. So there's 200 mil being wisely invested, isn't it?
Wow.
Maybe they should have gone to an area that liked AFL, you know, namely, do I mention Tasmania or even Darwin, whatever. But you are never going to get AFL established in Greater Western Sydney.
And they've always struggled, haven't they? They're just a made-up club. And
well, the interesting thing is that there will be some listeners who probably support the AFL bandwagon and say, we'll have a look at Sydney. You take the South Melbourne concept out of Sydney and they'd be not much better off than
the
GWS.
That's right.
And in fact, you know, they were they failed dismally twice before the AFL really got them going. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
So
quickly, we're still on a little bit of footy. I just wanted to mention that Port missing out perhaps on Dunkley and Graham. It's going to be hard. Who they're going to get now as recruiting, Rick?
Well, yes. And, I mean, you're the Port guru. I'm just wondering whether we're beginning, right? This is putting one and one together and getting three or four. I'm just wondering whether a couple of these big names are rejecting the Port offer because of the coaching panel at Port Adelaide.
Have swapped it up other than the top coach. They have swapped it around a fair bit.
Well, there is a... I mean, you'd think that the top coach should be the top coach, wouldn't you? I mean...
Well, I don't know. But anyway, they're looking at a couple of Geelong boys now.
They're under 15s.
Yeah, well, got to start somewhere. but, yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention that while we're still on that bit of the AFL. Rick, yeah. Bit of cricket.
Bit of cricket.
I see the Redbacks are back into the old form. Eight wicket loss.
And what I don't understand, and we won't spend time over it because I haven't actually done the research to find out why, but I just want to use their inconsistent approach, or at least their seemingly inconsistent approach to encouragement and selection. Last year, they gave Thomas Kelly.
Yes, very good player.
A run in the last Sheffield Shield game. Hasn't got a Guernsey in any of these games.
He played a few, and he made some good scores, didn't he?
Well, he certainly hasn't played in the last couple.
No. Oh, he played that one day stuff too, you know, that 2020 and he played. He was very good.
And yet we're getting these, you know, imports.
Yeah, guys from, Tasmania or wherever they're coming from.
I mean, to me, without knowing the background, to me, how is that? Thomas should be playing every possible game there is.
Yep.
Or if they believe in him.
Games under his belt.
That's right. If they believe in him. Now, if they don't, well, why did they give him a Sheffield Shield game?
Exactly.
So, again, maybe you should ring up Dizzy and find out.
He'd have a hotline, wouldn't he? Dizzy hotline.
Well, you're on good terms with Timmy, so Timmy Nelson. So he'd tell you what's going on, I'm sure. Anyway, that's probably enough on the cricket.
Quickly, does the local cricket start this week, Rick?
In theory, it does.
Yep, if it doesn't rain. It looks like rain all the rest of the week.
There is a great deal of forecast for rain.
And now the turf pitches.
That's the big thing. It is documented that the local season starts on the 8th.
Yep.
However, we have not been notified, umpires, etc., of anything, because I think they're very concerned and they want the season to get underway equally. So if, for instance, there's one or two grounds out of commission, I think they'll delay it and turn the first. Every game's a two-day game, so they do have the option of making
going
them a
one-day.
And I think my guess is that may be what will happen.
Light pass, new coach, Darren Jumbo James.
Yeah.
So he's coming in for his first season up there.
Yeah.
Team to watch, they reckon. Light pass, there you go.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
Trent Gurr's better get his spinners going.
Anyway, all right, young footballer.
Yep.
Young footballer. Excuse me, listeners. Realised he had dreams. He wanted to be an AFL footballer.
Yep.
And he worked his butt off. And he realised eventually that he wasn't going to make it. He was not going to make it as an AFL star. So he thought, well, I've got to try and have some sort of, career. So he thought, I'm going to join the Navy and make that my career. So he So he went to the recruitment office. Recruiting officer, one of the first questions he asked him, can you swim? The young bloke replied, why, don't you have any ships?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Really? Well, there you go. Quickly, a watch this space. Dean Turlick, no longer coach at your Adler. Watch this space. Where is he going?
Well, I thought you told us two programs ago.
Well, I did. He was already at space.
All right. Until next week, folks. This is Rick.
This is Phil.